From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
All those guys are at this point. The one difference is in Altuve's case, and this guy, he has been doing it longer. He's performed at an incredible level.
Generational level, you could almost say.
And, you know, I think he's just amazing. I really do. And if it were my money, which it's not, I'd pay the man. But in these guys' cases, if you can lock him up ahead of time, that's great. But you have to pay him. But, you know, let's just start a completely unfounded rumor. I am trying to put together a group to buy the Carolina Hurricanes and move them here.
I'm in.
I need $499 million.
So, I heard Mr. Gow talking about it in the hallway. He was excited about the prospect, couldn't wait.
Yeah, we're $499 million short. But, yes, we would bring the team here and then try to build our own arena. But we'd work out a deal with Toyota Center in the interim. So that's in the works. It's going to happen.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No, it's not going to happen. That was fake news.
I heard it on ESPN 97.5.
We're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at Shock975, at Producer T. Scott, Mike Liebeschock, and Tyler Scott filling in very well today so far. No screw-ups yet. Everything's good. Somebody at Texan, love listening each day, wants to know if you have your own show.
By the way, the most creative spelling of my name I've ever seen. Thank you, 409.
Well, people are...
There's a couple letters.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's well, all good.
He doesn't know you. He wants to know you. He wants to hear your show.
Absolutely. Tune in for Houston Game Day. Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon. My co-host, Barry Laminack, Nick Sharara from The Usual Suspects, also is our producer. And it's not, you know, we're not all about fitting the non-lubed sports round peg into the square sports hole. We talk a lot of food. We talk a lot of sports. We make fun of each other. Mainly me making fun of Barry.
Is that kind of a weird sexual reference?
Nope.
Yeah, that was the non-lube thing. Yeah.
What I'm saying is that
you should have saved that for Beth. She'll be here in a few minutes.
Yeah, it'll still be there. But what I'm saying is that if there's not sports to talk about, there's very well for 3 hours we won't talk any sports.
There's food.
There's a lot of food talk. We'll be talking about the Whataburger high tops from Nike this week, I have a feeling. So tune in for that.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Dr. Dre on 290... tweeted, it's the honey badger video. I've seen that one many times. My favorite animal video, though, is mountain lions versus water buffaloes. It's about 6 minutes long. Have you ever seen that?
I have not seen that.
When you have 6 minutes, it's well worth your time. Basically, in a nutshell, there's a baby water buffalo, and these lions are attacking him. He falls in the water. A crocodile comes up after him.
Oh, so yes, I have seen that. Yeah, all three of them.
And then, like, hundreds of water buffaloes show up, this army, and they rescue the little dude. I gave away the plot, but, yeah, it's awesome to watch.
The BBC does such a great job of putting together these Planet Earth and North America retrospectives. I don't know why we can't do them about our own country, but if you have time, man, sit down and watch those. They're fantastic.
BBC does a lot right, man. Especially when it comes to television. I have been disappointed in a few things they've done, but most of the time, if it gets a good buzz and you start watching that show, what was the one? They had one that was based in America and it got canceled, and I thought it was really good. It was a BBC America show about basically before it's almost like a prequel to Gangs of New York. I can't remember what it was called, but it was really good.
I'll have to look into that. The different thing about them, if you're not used to watching BBC-made shows, is you don't get the 23 or 24-episode season like we're accustomed to here in the States. When Sherlock comes out, if they ever do another season, I'm not sure that they will.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing another one.
You'll get 4 or 5 90-minute episodes.
They usually get 3.
You're right.
You get three, and they're 90 minutes, so they're like mini movies.
Yeah. Peaky Blinders, you'll get 4 or 5. Luther, the last one I think was only 2, but that's usually good for 4 or 5. Copper was really good.
I think is Copper the show that you're talking about?
Copper, that's the one I was thinking of. That one was more traditional.
Yeah,
it was like 10 one-hour episodes, if I recall correctly. I may be wrong about that. But that show was pretty good.
Not a lot of sunlight in their shows either.
No. Just well, it's England. I mean, if you live there, you have to get across how depressing it is.
Absolutely.
But
have you seen Ozark?
I have not, and that is one that a lot of people have recommended, and I think I might check that out at some point.
It strikes me, and I had to turn it off, and I immediately watched Arrested Development because I didn't want to see Jason Bateman in Ozark. I get the feeling there's a lot of Breaking Bad to it.
It's like Redneck Breaking Bad.
It feels
Bad,
like
right?
Redneck Breaking Bad.
I like rednecks.
And you like Breaking Bad, so.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe that and everybody keeps telling me I love Power.
Never seen it.
I'm thinking about both of them. Just please quit telling me they're better than Game of Thrones. Okay? Because the last two times people have told me that, I've ejected on a show. But I am thinking about both of those, and I appreciate everybody's suggestions, obviously. Jason said, Fred, if you're only more rounded, if only you could talk about anything, stop sticking to the script. So disappointing. Yeah, it's funny how this is how we've kind of always done it. I'll have show notes that I send. I sent them to RJ yesterday too, and we didn't use a single story, I don't think. So I saved a few for today, but I just put together a list of topics that, you know, I think would be interesting and something that, you know, Shot can rip off of, or AJ when it's him. And ordinarily, and I try to have basically 6 hours worth of content for a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
Because you never know what's going to happen. And if we get to more than about 15% of these stories, it's a bad show.
It's been a bad show.
Yeah.
You've been telling me that for years.
I know.
And you're exactly right.
It's always a lot more fun when you wind up talking about Ricky Ticky Tabby or Peaky Blinders.
832 texting in, the new season of Sherlock is on Netflix. That's actually the last old season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been about a year behind on Netflix. It is. I enjoyed it. I thought it was.
It's creepy. It was all hell, but it was good.
Extremely odd, to say the least. But.
And 832 texting, God, I miss Arrested Development. There is more on the way, and hopefully it was better than season 4. That's all I'll say.
All righty. Guess who's coming up next?
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you Shock is going to be talking about lube in a few minutes because Beth will be joining us. Beth Liebling from Darling Way. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Darling Way presents Here's Your Masters of Love, Fred the Falcon and AJ with Beth Liebling.
And we are back. Mike Liebeshock filling in for AJ. It's Beth time. And she's such a big star, she's got her own videographer here, which I have to say sucks for me because the camera adds 20 pounds, which I've just lost. So now I look just as fat as I did a month ago.
No, you look great.
I have to suck in my gut the entire time we're on air. It's going to be hard.
Oh, you should be sitting back here with me because the table is hiding everything. So, yeah, you can just sneak around here, Fred. You can get closer to me.
No,
come on.
I don't,
you
know? Because I don't want to get closer because everything, even something I said on break sounds dirty when you're here.
Yeah, I know. It's funny how somehow the glasses just change. It's these purple shades just come over everything. It's auditory.
You become innocent librarian.
I become innocent librarian?
Yeah, the glasses turn you into innocent librarian.
I don't know about innocent. Oh. I don't know about innocent. It's not a word I would necessarily use.
I actually really love books and love libraries. I have never had a sexual encounter in a library, but that's a good check it list for, you know, to add it to.
Definitely try it.
Yeah. You've done that, Fred?
Yes.
See,
fiction
that's
section.
Good. The what section?
Fiction section.
I think of the Friends episode where Ross is upset because people are doing it in front of his dissertation thesis and everything. So, yeah.
Okay. I missed that one.
Oh, gosh. Any situation in life, there's always a Friends episode that relates. It's really kind of scary. So, anyway. This is so nice to be working like with Mike here, though. I'm very excited. I like it when our threesome gets changed up just a little bit. It's like,
so you like variety.
New exciting vibe. I really like variety. Yes. No more boring for me.
I'm just curious. That ought to be a topic sometime, sex in public, because I don't do that anymore. I'm too old for that.
Anymore. I love that.
But I have. Yeah. Well, I was younger, man, and, you know, you do crazy stuff when you're young.
Yeah, so where was the craziest place in public?
Well, I'd have to think about that. I think on a balcony of a hotel, but not outside the room, in the actual walkway.
Oh.
In the middle of the night.
Oh.
Nobody came by.
I was going to say, is that really public? You just got
it's
lucky.
Public. Yes. We
you
just got lucky. Lucky. Yeah.
No, it's yeah, it's public lucky. If somebody can walk by,
like,
right? That's
like
the idea.
Like the tailgate at NRG Stadium, I consider to be public.
Oh, yeah.
Like during, you
did
know.
You do that?
No.
Oh, okay. So where's the craziest place you've done, Mike? We were getting all excited here.
We've had this discussion before, and I think, again, when you're settled in with four kids and it's been 18 years since you've had the house to yourself, I would have to dig through the journals and figure that out.
Oh, my God. Well, if you have four kids in your house, then frankly, yeah. doing it in public might be quieter.
It might be quieter, yeah. less interruption. Yeah. yeah. You might be onto something.
After four kids, you're not having more sex. Jeez.
Yeah. I had five kids. Yeah. And we still, we had boring sex, but we did. Yeah, until kind of the end. So, but yeah, I don't like the boring sex. Are you guys, I don't. So are you guys having boring sex or do you shake it up? Do you have fun stuff?
We try to. I mean, you only have so much opportunity. So any time you can, it's fun.
Mm, well, that's good. Okay, yeah. We need to get you more opportunity. We'll have to find you some babysitters.
Amen.
Yes, that's a good thing.
DM me at Shock975.
Perfect. Okay. All right, so what's this about lube?
Nothing. He just made a very sexual reference in the last segment.
I find it to be sexual at all. It was about machining.
Oh, like
hashtag machining.
A piston?
Correct.
Going in and out?
Correct.
Yeah. That's, yep. Yep.
Square peg, round a hole.
Well,
that's so funny. Okay, well, that brings us to, so tomorrow night at the shop, we're doing a workshop. I'm doing a talk. It's everything but. And all the whys. We're going to talk bootylicious. Nice. Yes, talk about, you know, going in the outdoor, different, you know, things like that. But that is the question we get asked most about. And then with Fred and AJ a couple of weeks ago, we talked about it on the air. And so now we're just bringing it to a head, if you will. And
as it were.
It's going to be, we're going to talk about like everything and practicalities, because I'm convinced most men don't really know how to do it well. And that deters people. And they really ought to be able to enjoy it. And then, okay, so this, you'll love this. This is my take. So Mike asked me before the show what we were going to talk about on Love and Laughter with Beth on Saturday night. So my guest is Pastor, United Methodist Church, Pastor Clarence White. He is going to be talking about what God and the Bible really say about sex. So I'm going to ask him, what do you think God says about anal sex?
Does he talk to God directly? He got a hotline? I know Joel Osteen does. He's got like a phone. He just picks it up and there's God.
And yeah, and God's waiting for him to call, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really interesting.
It should be. Are you having a guest or is it just you?
No, it's the guest. Oh, yeah. He's a pastor. He is an official pastor. And he's willing to talk about this stuff.
I actually think more pastors should talk about these things.
That's exactly it. I completely agree with you. So I think it's going to be very exciting.
Because a lot of them are role models to the people in their congregations. And a lot of times they go to them for advice on things. And I'll be curious to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And I'll give you, a little teaser here. We'll talk about, there's a Song of Deborah. And it's just a little quote. Between her feet, he knelt down. He fell, he lay. Where he knelt down, there he fell, wasted. Think he's talking about feet? Song of Deborah.
Like, sounds like me passing out every Saturday night, basically.
Well, I think you should be so lucky to be passing out that way. But we're going to talk about all this sexual innuendo. And I would challenge people and question, think about, give me two euphemisms for penis that are used in the Bible. Kind of interesting.
And if people weren't paying attention, she's quoting Judges.
Oh, there you go. I thought it was Song of Deborah. Is that in Judges?
Judges. She was a judge, actually.
Oh, see, you're so smart.
Song of Solomon's pretty good, too. So,
I know. I can't wait. We're going to talk about that and read from it. Some of the most erotic stories are in the Bible, right? The whole Bible is full about sex.
I don't know about the whole
and
Bible, but some of it.
Well, okay, 70%.
I know there's a lot of begatting going on at the beginning.
Tons of begatting.
Yeah.
Yes. There's tons of it, tons and tons and tons. So clearly it's very important. So, and yeah. Oh, we have a question.
Oh, yeah, let's go to Dustin.
Hi, Dustin.
How's it going, guys? Long-time listener. Love the show on Wednesdays. So I have a question for
but
you.
But it's Thursday.
How are you?
Good.
My wife refuses to go down on me, and her excuse was from previous relationship. And I've gotten a couple books for her to read and everything else like that. I just don't know what to do from this point.
Yeah. You know, that's not as uncommon as you think. It's kind of amazing. A lot of women will joke that, or maybe it's men that will joke after marriage that kind of stops happening.
That's not a joke. That's a fact.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
A proven fact.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. So here's the thing. I have actually some caramel, like some different flavored lubes. Fred, you tried that at my shop. The flavored lubes actually can help a lot. They smell so good. They taste so good. So if somebody's a little bit squeamish about the tastes, et cetera, this can help get them over it. And frankly, it's so tempting. Every time we test it, like I have to test it and lick it because it makes me want more sweets. So something might be as easy as that to encourage her. Otherwise, there are some different ways I would suggest that I would talk to you about trying to make it into more of a game and more pleasure for her. So that it's not just an act of service, like, hey, take the trash out or hey, clean the floor or something, but that there's a way that your responses, et cetera, and what she's getting out of it are also enticing and tantalizing and turning her on. Because otherwise, it's pretty easy for a woman to do that kind of thing and be thinking about a grocery list at the same time. So that's not really the kind of exchange that you want. But
I'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, you'll take.
Yeah. Take what I can get, man.
Oh, that stuff. Is
I don't
so
care
much,
if she's taking
much,
groceries.
So much better when both people are into it.
It right. It's always more fun. But you're right. Sometimes I say it's kind of like masturbation, right? You just you take it and you know. But it's always more fun when you're collaborating. To me, it's more fun when you're collaborating with somebody. So, but you also ought to figure out what it is. Ask her about why it is that it doesn't turn her on, and then bring her into the shop, and we'll talk to her about it because. I love to talk about stuff
you
like that.
You can team up.
Team up, yeah.
Peer pressure?
Oh, no, I don't do that. No.
But
I try and point out what can be fun about it. And there's a sense of power. Gosh.
Well, in all seriousness, his wife may be able to ask you questions that and get to a point that maybe you can actually steer in the right direction as opposed to, no, just not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, and also sometimes people think that if they're going to do that they really have to put the entire thing down their mouth, right? They have to deep throat or something. And you don't actually have to do it. You can use a combination of your hands, your lips, your tongue, et cetera, so that it's not such a gagging issue or things like that. So we can deal with the taste. We can deal with that sort of being physically imposed upon. There's all sorts of different ways. And sometimes, yeah, just the idea of talking about it and sharing and saying, hey, just do, even just for 2 minutes, you know, give it a licking like a popsicle and then move on to something else. That can be okay too. And it just starts things, changing things up, et cetera. So, yeah, I like that. You know, we were talking, so Rob's here videoing from Video Mojo. He did the video for Darling Way. It's on the homepage of my website and I just love it. He made us look good and he helped me explain what our shop is all about because we really are something different. But so we were talking before about what would it be like? Like, you think somebody would call him and hire him to come record their romantic sessions? Wouldn't that be kind of wild?
I don't know if I'd hire anybody to do
yeah,
that.
I don't want anybody seeing. No.
No?
No. I don't want to see myself. Yeah. Why would I want anybody else to see that? That's disgusting.
Oh. Well, wait. If you felt like you had lost all the weight you wanted to and you were in good shape, would you still feel that way?
I would not want to see me. I don't want to see me with clothes on in front of a camera. Are you kidding?
Okay. I have the same trouble. I don't want to see all my... I'd be looking at, you know, wobbly bits and things like that. But I was thinking for some, that'd be kind of cool to have... To have somebody video and make... And literally making your own movie at home.
Like Olympic swimmers with zero body fat. Yeah.
Oh, no. Look at... No, haven't... There's all sorts of amateur porn on
I would never
and stuff,
do
and
that.
Those people are not anywhere near Olympic swimmer bodies.
Even on a non-connected device, I'm 100% sure that whatever I took would make its way to the internet. And the device would never leave my pocket.
Yeah.
And some way, it would end up there.
Okay, what would you be most embarrassed about if it made it to the internet? How you look naked or what you do or what sounds? What right? What are we all so worried about?
Oh, I think it's probably body image, 100%.
Oh.
For 100% for 80% of us.
Okay. See, I was thinking that most men are more comfortable than women. So I'm surprised that men are that more insecure about seeing that.
We don't talk about it as much.
Right now.
Yeah. Well, I like that.
To be honest, I do not like the way I look. And it's one of the reasons why I'm trying to lose weight, because I just find myself disgusting.
Oh.
So.
I don't find you disgusting. I think you're very handsome. But I'm impressed that you can just own that. When I didn't feel good about myself, I wore all sorts of ugly clothes and I just looked ugly and I ate more cookies.
No, I just got out of the shower one day and said, okay, this is awful. You need to do something. And so I did. And I'm more than halfway to where I want to be, but I still wouldn't want it out there.
Wouldn't want to.
Unless I think you look great, Fred.
Oh, thank you. You haven't passed out yet, so. Holly brings up a great point. She says, we have drones for that.
We have drones for that. Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's what Holly talked about when she was on my show on Love and Laughter with Beth. She talked about how she and her guy had their own drone, and they had the drone video record them. Yeah, and Holly's freaking gorgeous. So, you know, I want my name on her video. How's that?
Is someone else running the drone?
No, she was running. They were running the drone.
So they're.
Yeah, you can get your drone to hover. It's pretty.
Okay.
I mean, so I'm not good at
autopilot.
It.
I guess so.
I'm not good at it, but.
There's one more reason not to do it in public, because other people have drones too.
That's true.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, but that means that I can't even go naked in my hot tub on my fourth floor balcony. Like. I'm going naked on my balcony. Come on, on my pool or whatever.
Yeah, never change. Never change.
I think, Holly, you need to send me a video, and I'm going to release it, and I'm going to put my name on it. And then people are going to be really impressed until they actually see me, and then I'll be like, oops.
Oh, that was,
that was last year.
That was when I was younger. Yeah.
That was last year.
That'll work. So, it's not a... I mean... Even if I get back to where I want to be, it's just not something I'm comfortable. No offense, I would not want someone else in the room.
Mm. Oh, so yeah, so the swingers clubs and stuff.
Yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah. I think sometimes somebody else in the room can be kind of hot, but in the moment, they're not looking at the details and they're not looking critically. They're getting caught up in it. So I could see that way more.
Yeah,
like threesomes and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's just not for me.
You're not into threesomes?
No, not really. I've done them. It's
you've done them. God.
It's not that special. And frankly, if you're in a good relationship with somebody, you want to focus on them, and you're bouncing back and forth.
So. Yeah, that could be. But I don't know. I think it's pretty pretty exciting. I think it's one of the most a very common fantasy for people too. One of those bucket list kind of items.
Hmm.
I have a different term for the bucket list, but.
Never guess what that would be.
Yeah, exactly. But I think everybody should have a list like that. Yeah. Hmm. Do you have that, Mike? Start it.
I'm starting it now.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That was, at some point I thought about like taking somebody I knew to Vegas and something and just hiring the third person. Because I thought that might be a safe way to have that kind of threesome without worrying about the emotional
involvement.
What are the
odds you'll ever see that person again, right?
Yeah.
Then you get back and they're, you know, the checkout girl at Kroger or something.
That would be so fun. That would be so my luck. That would be great
for some of us. That is luck. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But for still, sure. That would be okay, right? Because then they have their own secret life. It's like, you know, whatever happens in Vegas stays in
Vegas.
Knowing
glances. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I always feel like such a prude when you're on the show. Jeez.
And yet you've talked about threes. You've had plenty. You've probably had way more experience than I have, and just maybe some. Much broader areas.
Yeah, but
and stuff.
But you know, not having just stuff like having somebody else in the room watching creeps me out.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like being judged?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I get that.
Mm. I'm such a voyeur. Even when I was practicing family law, I used to tell people that I specialized in voyeurism because I always like to know everybody's stories and stuff. So the idea of being in a room and watching other people have sex really is appealing to me. I'd stand out. I just like watching people do almost anything. When it's real, not...
Well, I'll give you my theory on this, because I find women more sexy when they're wearing clothes than when they're naked. What you're talking about, like, I like to people watch and kind of guess what they're about sometimes. I was talking to a friend about this the other day. They do that all the time. But I don't want to watch them having sex.
Oh.
That's just weird to me.
It might be weird, but I like that.
Well,
weird.
I know, but that's, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, it's not weird for you.
Yeah. I would watch them fighting, too. Because that's just interesting.
See, I don't like that either.
Yeah.
There was a couple walking their dogs in front of our place the other day, and they were going at it pretty good. And I'm just like, it makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to be around it.
Yeah. I don't want to.
Well, having a knockdown, drag out argument, I mean, pretty fierce.
It was loud enough that you, you know, that I could hear it. And,
interesting.
But see, now, if I saw them walking and looking pissed off at each other, imagining what they're pissed off about is more interesting to me.
Oh, see, I don't like that because I don't like to guess. I don't like to be wrong. So I want to hear it, and then I want to hear the end of it because I'm going to draw all these conclusions, and I want to actually hear whether or not I'm right
maybe,
or wrong.
Maybe that's a fiction writer in me because what I come up with is going to be more interesting than the truth, which is somebody left the toilet seat up. Yeah, which is going to be something boring like that. I'm going to come up with, oh, he, you know, he banged her sister or something. I don't know. It's going to be more interesting than what the real argument's about because most arguments that people have, even in public, are about stupid things.
Yeah, that's so funny. And it's true. So you really are. You're writing fiction and I'm trying to write nonfiction. So, yes. And I want to be right.
You guys should do a book together.
I told him that, like, one of the very first times we sat down and talked, that he and I should absolutely. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I know, right? I know. What should we write a book about,
Mike? Do you
need
a pen name? Do you have to develop a pseudonym for that? Or?
Well, everything I've ever written is under my own name.
Hmm. Yeah. What should we write about here, Mike?
Well, has to have mafia.
Mm.
Just trying to stay in Fred's zone here.
Mafia, gambling, hell of a lot of drinking,
gambling,
weed.
Drinking.
Okay, and then I bring in the sex and sex and sex.
Yeah.
Actually, most of my stuff already has a lot of that.
There you go. See, Fred's got it all. He
remember,
doesn't need me.
No, remember my last one had witch sex in it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I missed that one.
Well, so I would bring the dominatrix sex in. I would bring the watching people sex in.
That's what it needs,
We bring in the tushy time.
The next level stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're taking it to a much bigger level than I could.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Okay, and what are you going to have to do with it, Mike? Because, you know, we're all about, we're a threesome here, so.
I will write the foreword.
Is that anything like the foreskin?
No.
Oh, good. It doesn't get removed?
Unless you rip the front page out. No. It's all good.
Well played, sir.
I try.
All right, Beth, tell them about the shop and that they can come by. And if they want to just talk to you about some of this stuff, they can in person.
Yeah, please. Seriously, we'd laugh a lot about all this stuff on the show. But the fact is that it's really important. And I can take it just as seriously as I can laugh about it. That's the best thing. So come visit me at Darling Way at 3423 White Oak Drive in the Heights. Or online at darlingway.com. Again, you can see our video online and you can find out about our events. So, oh, and there's going to be White Linen Nights on August 5th. And early birds get easy, good parking. We'll have all sorts of fun and games and sexy, passionate fun.
And Saturday night, your show, and you're going to have the pastor on.
Yes, Saturday night, Love and Laughter with Beth at 10 p.m. on 97.5 ESPN, of course. We'll have Pastor White from the United Methodist Church, and we'll talk about what God and the Bible really say about sex. Let's just delve in. And any questions, send them in advance or feel free to call me that night. We'll take them.
Well, if he really does have a hotline to God, you think I could get him to put in a word for me?
Yes.
Okay.
I love the fact that you guys put the room back together after your show Saturday. So when Barry and I come in, it doesn't look like a lot of stuff happened in here.
Oh, well, we take our stuff. I mean, yeah. I've thought about leaving. I have a couple of really nice... you know, phallic symbols and stuff. And I've thought about leaving him here, but I was afraid they wouldn't still be here when I came in.
No trace of the hijinks that go on in here.
We have so much fun, though. In fact, the other guys have to yell at us because we laugh so loud that they don't know what's happening.
Yeah, Del's a barrel of laughs.
He is. He's been so good. He's so he talks about stuff with me that you wouldn't believe. And he has really good advice for people, too. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He's a wise man.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the segment. We appreciate you as always.
I love being here.
And fun stuff. I'm still... she just tries to make me uncomfortable. I know what she's doing every week. She's trying to pick something that she knows. I'm going to just go...
I do, because everybody else talks about what a tough guy you are. You know, he's the mafia man, right? Oh, he's so tough.
I'm not tough.
Uh-huh. You look all tough and whatever. And then I come in and his cheeks get all red and he just can't stop grinning. And he's just like, yeah, it's, I love it. I love it.
All right. We'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. It's a paradise and it's a war zone. It's a paradise.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Win a $250 gift card from Barcelona Sports. Just sign up to win on ESPN97.5.com/Barcelona Sports. Lucky winner takes home the gift card. Best products, best prices, and personal service. Barcelona Sporting Goods, your athletic outfitter since 1956. And also want to remind you, we will be at Big City Wings in Pearland tomorrow. So for all of our fine Pearland listeners, come meet Henry Thomas, who will be on here in just a few minutes. All right, we didn't get to do these yesterday, so we're going to wrap up the show the way we usually do on Wednesday with deaths. That's your cue to play Dust in the Wind. There you go.
There was going to be something.
I almost made it. The last damn segment. You were doing so good. I was about to say, Tyler's about to throw a perfect game. Oh,
bunt single in the ninth inning.
Oh, no, that wasn't a bunt single. That one just goes soaring into the left field seats.
Damn.
So not only did he give up the shutout, he gave up a run.
That wasn't as bad.
Oh, no, you've done worse. I mean,
I could have played something different.
You've given up some Aaron Judge type home runs.
The Ken Giles of the producer pool.
That's more Gregerson.
All right.
Early fires.
So, all right, so we'll start with our celebrities. 2015, Bobby Christina Brown, daughter of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown. 22 years old. That is not a good run.
No.
1980, Peter Sellers, English actor and comedian, best known for the Pink Panther, is also in Being There, I believe, which was a very good movie. Dead at 54, also not a good run.
No.
Ben Hogan, golfer, dead at 84 in 1997. That's a good run. 1862, Martin Van Buren, the 8th U.S. president, and this is where I promise to do my presidential rankings, dies of heart failure at 79.
Leader of the Van Buren boys.
I see. He 79 is a good run in 1862, by the way. And I think this is a good run for 1793. Roger Sherman, founding father of the United States, Declaration of Independence, typhoid at 72. Things we don't have to worry about anymore. Typhoid.
Were the Van Buren boys like running moonshine or something?
No, that was a Seinfeld reference.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Diphtheria. Does anybody die from diphtheria
Not
anymore?
A long time.
Smallpox.
I thought I had it last year, but I was all right.
Hmm. Okay. Skip ahead to, we got Ed Psycho. The guy that Psycho is based on, dead at 78. And then...
is he the one who wore people's skin on his skin?
I think so.
Yeah.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
There you go.
1984, George Gallup, who was the survey sampling pioneer.
The Gallup poll.
Yeah, well, God voted against him in 1984. Died at 82. Decent run. 2012, Sally Ride, American astronaut and first woman in space. Dead at 61. God, that's not a good ride either. See, these people that die at these 50s and 60s makes me a little bit nervous.
I think astronaut gives you extra points, though.
You mean you die sooner because of that?
No, what I'm saying is that, yeah, 61, you'd like to go a little bit longer, but astronaut, in terms of the quality of your run, you get extra points. I'll take astronaut.
I don't want to die at 61.
Okay.
2003, Bob Hope dies at 100. Now, I don't want to make it to 100 either. Somewhere nice and in between. 2011, Amy Winehouse dies at 27. Also not a good run.
No.
1885, Ulysses S. Grant, 18th president and Union general, dead at 63. That's an okay run for 1885. Oh, man, this is a pretty good list.
He died in New York. That surprises me. I thought he'd been in the South.
1863, Sam Houston, first president of the Republic of Texas, dead at 70. That was in 1863.
Yep.
So decent run. 1750, Johann Sebastian Bach dies at 65. Probably a good run for 1750. Not to be confused with Sebastian Bach, the former lead singer for Skid Row.
That's, I think, Art of the Fugue was the first double album.
I think they're actually still touring as Skid Row.
Yeah, but I don't think he's singing for him.
Or he's using the name Skid Row.
Okay.
And it's not the full band.
I'll tell you what, he still has one of my favorite voices in rock. At least he did at the time from that era. His voice is amazing.
Who's number one, Fred?
For me?
Yeah.
Number one death or?
No, number one voice. You mentioned.
Freddie Mercury.
Boom. We've had this discussion.
Yeah, and number one voice, number one front man. Now, I think there's some other great rock voices out there. Sebastian Bach's one of them. I mean, that guy's range is just amazing. And it's funny because I've been having a lot of proud parent moments with my daughter lately. One of them was turning her on to Skid Row. And I'm playing a song that I haven't played for before, and she knows the lyrics to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I had shown my kids, this is maybe a month ago, we were watching on YouTube Queen's performance at Wembley. I mean, it's one of the most legendary shows ever. And they weren't really into Queen. They know Bohemian Rhapsody because it's so ubiquitous now. But like a week later, on my Spotify, I can see in my stream the people that I follow, what they're playing, and both of my kids at the same time, at 17 and 14, are both playing Queen. And deep cuts, nice. Too. Like, not even, like,
yeah.
You know, they're going deep. So that was cool.
Jared says Skid Row's touring without Bach. He's touring by himself. Jason says, great show, great flow, gents. Shock, I hope you get a lot more fill-in spots. You deserve it. Shock does deserve it. Shock is fantastic.
Don't count on it, but thank
you.
All
right, let's finish off the deaths. We do have a dead porn star, and the way we do this is you guess how the porn star died. 2005, Camila DiCastro. 2005. You got to think of the time frames here because there were a lot of AIDS earlier, but now 2005.
That's drug culture time.
Okay. So what is your guess?
If she did an OD, she committed suicide. Like either accidental overdose or she offed herself.
I think he read the notes.
He either read the notes or he just bit.
I try not to read these.
Just hit both ends of his parlay because heroin overdose, but leaped to her death from her 8th-story apartment.
That's the way they all did it back then.
Really?
That's not the way I would go. I'm not jumping off a building.
See, you're not supposed to read the notes ahead of time. You weren't supposed to give him death. That's why. Oh, well.
I actually didn't read it.
Oh, well. Those were deaths.
Until now. If I'm going, I'm not jumping off a building. There's too much time to think about it. nothing you could do about it at that
but
point.
But it says heroin overdose, and she leaped to her death from the 8th story. So, yeah.
So she was going to die.
That's a quick.
So yeah. Was she already dead, and she fell off? The building?
Somebody asking any opinion on the CFL game tonight. I don't. I might lean Winnipeg, but I do like Saskatchewan -3 on Saturday. That's a play.
Nice.
But and I might play Calgary on Saturday too, simply because Hamilton's a mess. But I got to see where that number winds up. It's not on my site right now.
We gave you garbage for saying reticent. Now I'm catching it for using ubiquitous. So I'm right there with you.
The textures are so obstreperous today.
I like that.
We're just going to play this game all day.
Hells yes.
Yeah, it's funny. My daughter is a terrific singer. She's been a lead in a lot of plays. She does a really cool version of I Remember You by Skid Row. Yeah. So
different arrangement, same arrangement?
Well, one of these days we're going to sit down and record it. I keep threatening
that'd
to.
That would be awesome.
But you know, when we were going to do our band, I was going to have her come guest sing it, but then I got busy with real life again. And
Fred Fowler Project.
No, we were going to be Dead Money.
I feel like that's been done. Maybe not. Dead Confederate is a band.
You may be thinking of Eddie Money.
No. Dead Money.
Ed Money.
Dead Money is a poker term.
No, I know.
I met him once. It was the most disappointing moment of my life.
Was he going by Edward at that time?
Such a biatch. No, it was Eddie. It was a record signing at a record store, and he couldn't have been more of a whiny tool.
All right. Well, there's music. That means we're done. I want to thank Beth. She did a great job today. Tyler was at A+ until the last segment, and they slipped to an A. But that's a good performance.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm going to give Liebeschock an A+ today.
Yeah.
I thought he was terrific.
I'm all right. But thank you.
I'll give Beth an A. She was great. Give myself a solid C- today. So
this flew by, dude.
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of fun, man. I appreciate you coming in.
No, anytime.
Always love having you fill in. And in fact, last time you were supposed to fill in, you got sick. So,
oh, dude, that was bad.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Though it kind of turned out because that day Jong did the guest hosting.
I heard, and he produced,
and Tyler produced, and it was actually pretty cool. So I was glad he got a chance to do that. And
lots of comic book talk and.
Oh, yeah, yeah, since he's got his own stuff. He's got his own podcast now, just like everybody else.
Go check out Comicast. It's on our website.
New episode yesterday.
All right. And if you're one of those guys who is looking to advertise and needs somebody to talk to about it, Shock's your guy.
Once again, DM me at Shock975.
I'm pretty sure they can find your stuff on the website, too.
They could.
Yeah.
I'm there.
All right. Got the HD show coming up next. Freddie D and Henry Thomas. We will be out at Paraland tomorrow at Big City Wings, and Henry Thomas will be with me. So get a little preview now. Till tomorrow, stay sports, you bitches.
ESPN 97.5.